Somewhere just across the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the stream of life is flowing there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home to me, right where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Well, they say there's only joy inside that city. Little children playing by the stream of life. There's no pain, no disappointments there can hurt us. And Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. That sounds like home to me, right where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
I hope you're headed there. I really do. One day the eastern sky is going to split and the clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to call the dead in Christ to rise first. They're 6 feet lower than we are, so they got to rise first. And some are in the bottom of the seas and in the oceans, they got to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, if you know Him. If you don't know Him, you're not going. You are going to face the most awful, you think it'd be bad if Hillary were president. It's going to be worse than that. The devil is going to have free reign on the earth. The Spirit of God is going to be removed. You can't even imagine what that means. You can't. I can't. I can't even put it into words what's going to happen when the Spirit of God is taken off of this earth. If the Spirit of God has ever wooed you to get saved and urged you to get right with Him, you better do it. Because there's coming a day when it's going to be too late. And God wants every single one of you. He died for everyone. And I don't want you to miss out on heaven. Last year, I got up and I said, and I'm going to say it again, you're not going to win anything. So just get it out of your mind, right? I never win anything. And then I won the gun. So I'm going to say it again. I don't ever win anything except the gun last year. That was an amazing blessing. I want to preach a message. And first let me say this, because I think this is so important in a wild game dinner. All of this preparation is for this reason, right here, what we're doing right now. This is not what it's about. This is not what it's about. Beautiful cornhole boards, that's not what it's about. It's not about hunting. It's not about conservation. All those things are important. It's not about your right to bear arms. That's not the main reason why we're doing this. I believe in all those things. Why this church and Pastor Dale does this, and Miss Karen and Brother Dan puts all these hours into it, is because of what we're doing right now. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. It's all this stuff is worthless. All the guns, all the fishing poles, all the ammo, everything you can muster up in this life is all going to be disintegrated and burned with fire. It doesn't matter if your heart's not right with your Creator. You say, well, I don't believe in a Creator. It doesn't matter. I don't believe in the Bible. That doesn't matter either, because one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to be judged according to this book. So if I were you, I would get to know this book. I better turn this mic on. I told him I'd wander around. I think I'm on. Am I on? Great. You're going to be judged by this book. Men and women, boys and girls, you have a responsibility to know every word in this book. You ought to get up every day of your life and read this book. You say, it's too hard to understand. They have said that the King James Bible is on a fifth grade level. So those excuses down through the years don't amount to a hill of beans. You say, well, I don't understand what thee and thou means. Well, you better get to understanding what it means. It's not complicated. If I can get it, you can get it. Amen? If Brother Dan can get it, anybody can. Amen? He's on a fourth grade level and he understands it. No. It's true. I'm 47 years old. I've been in church all my life. There's a lot of this Bible that I don't understand. But you know what God told me one day? He said, don't worry about the stuff you don't understand. If you don't understand it, ask me to teach you. If I'm not ready to teach you, I'll let you know. Move on. What I have found is it's not what I don't understand that bothers me about this book. It's what I do understand. That bothers me, right? So I want to speak to you, and I want to speak to you on this subject. I serve because I am a son. I serve because I am a son. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It brings joy, it brings conviction. It brings all the emotions to the surface when I read this chapter, beginning in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous simply means he wasted his money on premarital sex and alcohol. That's what riotous living means. You can look it up. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that's exactly where you're headed if you're in that lifestyle. You're headed for want. I have a brother right now, grew up in the same preacher's house I did. He's in rehab right now. He's an alcoholic. And I hope God's doing a work in his life. I pray for him every day. But my brother has lived all these years, and you know where it brought him? To want. And that's where you're headed if you're in that lifestyle. And I say that lovingly. See, you can bail out before you get to be an alcoholic. And if you're an alcoholic, there's hope for you, I'm telling you. If your heart's still beating, if your lungs are still breathing, get right with your Creator. Amen. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise." And I want you to just pay attention to these next few words. "And go to my father, and will say unto him," listen to what he wants to say to his father. He's rehearsing this in his mind. He said, "I want to tell my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy." And I want you to focus on that phrase. "I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. I serve because I am a son. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful meal, all the hands that prepared it. Thank you, Lord, for creating nature for us to enjoy. You say in the Bible that nature was created for us. The animals were created for us. What a wonderful gift that you have given to us. And those of us who have spent time in a tree stand on the ground hunting, we thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful days in your creation, for all the wonderful times you've allowed us to harvest what we were aiming for. We give you all the glory and praise and honor for who you are. Lord, I pray that you would quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, quiet our phones, so that we would be able to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Help me, Lord, speak through me, that I would bring forth the words that you would have me to bring forth. In your name we pray, amen. Like I said, I am a fourth generation pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor on my dad's side. Both of my grandfather on the Lake side, the grandfather on the Bailey side, both were pastors. My dad is a pastor, just celebrated 38 years in Leavenworth, Kansas, and I am a pastor, and I've been in church my whole life. I'm saying that for this reason. I have thoughts, and I've been a fundamental independent Baptist my whole life. I don't know how all the other religions think or believe, or, you know, I know semi what they believe, but I'm speaking for myself tonight. There's always this nagging thought in my mind that I'm not doing enough for God. I'm not reading my Bible enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not loving enough. I'm not witnessing enough. I'm not going to church enough. I'm just not enough. And I think that in fundamental circles, it's been drilled into our heads to serve so much that we never enjoy serving. Because we always feel like, yeah, I did that, but I could have done more. I brought one person to church, but I could have brought two. I passed out 40 tracts, but I could have done 50. And if you're not careful, you will spend your entire life not happy about anything you're doing. I'm sorry, I don't think God wants us to feel that way. This young man went to his father and said, I want my inheritance. I want the portion that falleth to me. I don't know if this was right. I don't know if it was correct. I don't know if it's something that was done a lot. But I know that this father did what his son asked and gave it to him. This son was bent on doing what he did. I don't think he went out, got a nice job, and just stumbled on this wicked lifestyle. I think he had been looking to the far country for a long time. And let me speak to every young person in here. You have a dad that loves your mom. You have a mom that loves your dad. You have a church that loves you and a pastor that loves you and Sunday school teachers that love you and youth workers that love you. And for you to be gazing at the far country, shame on you. I said, shame on you. You think it's all out there and partying, it's all out there and drinking alcohol and doing drugs. Why don't you find some godly men and women in your church that have been down that road and say, talk to me about it, brother. Is it worth it? Don't trust me. I've never drank a drop. Don't trust me. I've never done marijuana. Go to somebody that's been down that road and ask them. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. He had his eyes on the far country for a long time. And when he got that inheritance, he hightailed it to the far country. And boy, he had friends galore. My brother one time, this same brother that's in alcohol rehab, my mom and dad were out of town. They stole the church bus, had a party at the parsonage, and were going around town in the church bus, Brother Freeman, picking up people for a drunken bash at the parsonage of the church. He had his eyes on a far country. So he went, and he had friends for a while, and he lived the high life for a while, but when his money left, so did his friends. My brother was what you would call a functioning alcoholic. Hard worker, has a good job, makes good money, owns his own business, has a brand new truck, a brand new trailer, a brand new Toro mower. He has like a beautiful house, a wife, two kids. And he woke up in want toward the end of November. And his wife left him and his two kids. And he's in a house all by himself. He attempted suicide, shot a shotgun into the floor of that beautiful house, about drank himself to death, and he's in rehab right now. What happened to the prodigal son happened to my brother. My brother saved. I believe it. I mean, as far as his testimony goes, I have no reason not to believe it. But he woke up in want. And this young man woke up in the hog pen, and I love the words of this chapter when it says he came to himself. Some of you are just that close to doing some great things in your life. You just need to come to yourself. You need to get over yourself. Amen? You need to be honest with yourself. I need help. I'm talking about me. I need help. I need my God to be in my corner every day of my life. You say, well, how long do you got to be saved before it all just levels out and everything just starts working? I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I wake up every morning and I devour this book. I'm scared to get out of God's will. I'm scared to not preach. I'm scared to not go to church. I'm scared to not live by these precepts. And the prodigal son says he came to himself and he said, wait a minute, my father has servants that live better than I do. And I'm gonna go to my dad and I'm gonna say, Dad, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, that's what I'm gonna do. And as he was a great way off, his father saw him. You know what that tells me, Brother Dan? His father was looking for him. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think that's the first night the father went out on the porch and looked out over that hill and say, Lord, I don't know when you're gonna bring him home, but please bring him home. And one night a head bobbed up over the hill and the father went like this. And his son came up over the top of that hill and the Bible says the father ran to the son. Amen? And they embraced. And the son had the speech rehearsed in his head. And he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is what he had rehearsed. Now, there's something missing in verse 21 that we see in verse 19. This is what he rehearsed. He said, I'm going to tell my father I've sinned before God, before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That last part of the sentence he didn't get out of his mouth. He got to the part where I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, and his father cut him off. Don't miss this, Christians. See, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. I don't know if you're saved, lost, been saved a long time. You're running from God. You're right with God. I don't know. I'm just preaching to everybody tonight. But the father cut him off. And the father said these words. He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, wait a minute. Now, if I was going to give this young boy the best robe, wouldn't you tell this young man who just got out of a hog pen, right? Wouldn't you say, go in and bathe, go in and take a shower, wash your hair, wash the crevices of your body that have pig slime on them, and come, and then we'll put the best robe on you. You hear something he said? He said, Dad, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. The father stopped him and said, servants, go bring the best robe. You see, you can't clean up. You can't become worthy of that robe. That robe was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was our propitiation. He took our place. He died on the cross of Calvary, and by his shed blood, I am made clean. I'm not made clean by the water. I'm made clean by the robe of righteousness. That's not my righteousness. It's the Father's righteousness through his Son. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Look at Romans chapter 4 verse 6. Romans chapter 4 verse 6. The Bible says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I don't think fundamental Baptists have a problem believing that there's no works involved in salvation, but I think they have a huge problem in believing that works is involved in being right with God. Hear me out. I am in a right standing with God because of Jesus, not because of me. I can't be in right standing with God without his son. And the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I didn't just escape hell. I escaped the guilt of sin, amen? I escaped the filthiness of the hog pen, and the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ covers me, amen? Look at verse 23 of the same chapter. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed unto him. You know what that word impute means? That word impute, it's not a word that I use. Maybe you're more high dollar than me, but I don't use that word impute. It's an accounting term. That word impute means to balance an account. I was in the hole. I mean, to say I was in the hole is an understatement. Amen? I was in a hole. The Bible says, I was dead in trespasses and sin. Amen? And by the way, we're all in that boat. Before we're saved, we're all in that boat. If you're here tonight and you're lost, don't feel like, well, I don't fit in. You fit in with this crowd far better than you can possibly imagine. Amen? My account, this idea, well, when I get to heaven, all my good works are going to go over here. All my bad works are going to go over here on this scale. If my good works outweigh my bad works, I'll get into heaven. If my bad works outweigh my good works, I'll go to hell. That's a cute story, but that's not in the Bible. This is how it really works. There's a scale, and on one side is the righteousness of God. Amen? And on this side of the scale is everything I have mustered up, whether it be good or bad, and his scale always tips the balances in his favor. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was doomed. Amen? Jesus came along and he balanced the scales. What he did, my bank account was in the negative. And he put his account and switched it with mine. He took my account on his shoulders at the cross and he imputed into my account so that the scales got balanced. And guess what? They didn't get balanced because I'm a good boy. They got balanced because he's wonderful. Amen. So if you're here tonight and you feel like I don't measure up, I'm not a good husband, I'm not a good wife, I'm lousy, I know what God expects and I can't ever measure up, just remember, we are sons and daughters of God if we're saved, amen? And we're made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't serve to become a son, I serve because I am a son. Let me show you a few more verses and we'll be done. The same chapter, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Listen to the words. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. I wish I had another hour or two to preach this part. All Abraham did was believe God. I was 9 years old the day I walked from this side of the auditorium and I came down and knelt on that side. My dad was leading the invitation
And he took me and we went to the pastor's office and we knelt down and I believed on the name of God. I wish I could tell you what God's done with that gift. You say, what'd you do to get saved? I just believed. That's all I did. When I believed, not only did I escape hell, but his righteousness was put into my bank account. You know what that means? Do you understand that you're standing with your Father? If you're saved, you are justified. Amen? Live in victory. Don't let the devil tell you you're a failure. Listen, he got kicked out of heaven. Amen? When he tells you how bad he is, tell him how bad he is. Amen. He took your sin and from your account and deposited righteousness into your account. He took all the sin out of your account and he deposited his righteousness into your account. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, if you think that Jesus came to make you feel bad, that's not why he came. If you think that Jesus came to make you understand how worthless you really are, that's not why he came. If you think Jesus came with a long list of your sin to show you how filthy you really are, that's not why he came. He came not to condemn you, but to save you. Amen? Jesus is passionately in love with his creation. He loves you tonight. If you're saved, he loves you. I feel so bad for Christians that don't understand the love of God. If you're here and you're lost, I'm not here to condemn you. The law does that by itself. Scripture does that by itself. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to let you know that the price has already been paid by a loving Savior. Let's look at one more verse of Scripture and we'll be done. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christians, look at me. If you're in here tonight, now don't lie, but if you're in here tonight and you say, Pastor, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I died right now, I would go to heaven. I've trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. Heaven is my home and I know it. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Hold up high. Listen to me, church. The Bible says, this is under the authority of God, ye are complete in him. Amen? You're complete. You are completely saved. You are completely sanctified. You are completely justified, not through your works, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's not serve him in guilt. Let's serve him in victory. Amen. I told you I have one more verse. I really had two. I'm sorry. Colossians 4:12. One page over. One more verse. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand faithful perfect and complete in all the will of God. Complete. I'm justified. I'm complete, not because of me, because of Jesus Christ. I think it's time for the church to serve because we're saved. And quit trying to serve out of guilt. Guilt has nothing to do with it when you're saved. We have been, the robe of righteousness have been placed on our shoulders. We are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here, then you're lost. You say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Pastor. Today is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You're more ready to be saved than you can possibly understand. The Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sin. If you've never trusted Christ, you are literally a dead man or woman walking. You need God in your life. We would love to be able to share the gospel with you. I would love to share the gospel with you. Brother Freeman would love to share the gospel with you. Brother Dan would love to share the gospel with you. If you're lost, please don't leave that way. Amen? Don't leave that way with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. This is the most important part of the service. I wonder if there'd be one or two or three that would say, Pastor Lake, I think I've had a warped view of God, I'm not sure, but if I died right now, I am not sure 100% that I would go to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and put it back down? I won't embarrass you. Just raise your hand so I can see your hand. There's a couple back there anymore. Pastor, please, please pray for me. I'm not positive that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Anyone else? If you're here tonight and you're lost, you don't have to leave that way. God made a perfect plan of salvation laid out in His Bible, and He wants you to be saved. He urges you to be saved. He begs you to be saved. That conviction that you're feeling, that pain in your heart, that urging in your heart, that's called conviction. That is the Holy Spirit trying to draw you to salvation. It's your only hope of survival. Amen? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there'd be any Christians that would say, Pastor, I believe in the area of service, I've had a little bit of a warped view, and I've lived in guilt for a long time, and I don't want to serve out of guilt. I want to serve out of victory. I want to serve because I'm a son or a daughter of God. Would you raise your hand? I have mine up because I want that to be my prayer. All over the room, raise your hand. God's touched your heart, raise your hand. Say, this is my prayer. I don't want to serve out of guilt. I want to serve because I love God and know what He's done for me. Lord, thank You for this service. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the dedication of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Without Him, we would be lost. And tonight, Lord, we raise our hands not because we're big. We raise our hands to You because You are. And we want to point souls to You, Lord. And we lift up holy hands before You, Lord, not because we're worthy, but because You are. Thank You, Lord, for loving us and saving us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Brother Dan.
You say anything, Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Lake. Tremendous Bible message, wasn't it? Amen. Let me ask you to do something. We'll turn it over to Brother Dan. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you get with someone Pastor Lake, myself, Brother Dan, someone in the church, maybe someone that invited you or brought you, seek us out, and we'd like to talk with you. We'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way. And so we would like for you to do that, okay? You don't have to leave lost without Christ. And so we urge you to do that. You may be saved. And if you're saved and you're just seeking, there's something missing in your life, then get with us, okay? We'll be here, and we want you to come to us. We're not going to come to you, all right? We believe salvation is something of the free will. And if you have a desire in your heart, we want to take the Word of God and help you and show you from the Bible how you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Pastor Lake. Good, strong Bible message. Brother Dan?
All right. Brother Lake always does a very thought-provoking message. And that's what we want. We want the Spirit of God to work in your heart.